Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ari, how you been?
Great, Zach. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. First off, you were at LSU Alabama last weekend. Describe to me that chaos on the field after the game.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I definitely wouldn't have thought that I'd be one to be crashing fields anymore. But I mean, at that point, it was basically like you had to. You didn't really have a choice. And to be quite frank with you, we had actually parked on the other side of the stadium, so it just made the most sense instead of walking all the way around, just walk across. So really, it was just that was the whole purpose of it, was to get to the car straight. You know, fastest way to a spot is a straight line. So, but I mean, it was incredible. A buddy of mine here. In Dallas, is a huge LSU fan and was able to get free tickets. So, yeah, no, for sure. You want to drive and free tickets to LSU, Alabama? Absolutely, I'm in. It was a blast. I mean, the game was incredible, and it was my first time at Tiger Stadium. And for it to be, you know, Alabama on a night game, it lived up to the expectations that I had for it in terms of what I'd heard, especially for night games at Tiger Stadium. I mean, they're handing you, you know, gumbo as you're walking into the game. It was incredible.
Now, everyone gets crazy when Alabama loses, and it just becomes just ridiculous analysis. Oh, the program's dying. Oh, the dynasty's dead. They lost by 1 point. They also had a 3-point loss to Tennessee. They haven't been playing well this year, but what do you think the immediate future is going to be for this Alabama program as they're not going to be in the college football playoff this year?
Yeah, it is kind of amazing, right? Like decades upon decades of absolute dominance and like, you know, within a few weeks, it's like, oh, it's over. Like that was quick. That's bizarre. I mean, yeah, they're by their own standard not very good this year, but in like the, you know, the college football world at large, they're still a really good team. But I mean, to me, you look at all of the first round draft picks at wide receiver that they've had. I mean, they have just gone through unbelievable playmaker after unbelievable playmaker, and it's why you look around the league right now, and the majority of the best wide receivers in the NFL played at Alabama over the last 4 or 5 years. So, I mean, they just don't have the type of playmakers that they're used to having. And, you know, I'm just not sure about Bill O'Brien in terms of his offensive play calling and coaching. I think last year they kind of overcame some of that because of the talent that they had at wide receiver. But I would say, like, to isolate two of the biggest reasons why Alabama's not, like, on par with the rest of its dynasty this year, I would say it's probably lack of playmakers and mixed with maybe some questionable decisions at the offensive coordinator position. By the way, I think Bill O'Brien to get a head coaching job this offseason.
Where do you think he's going to land? I've been saying Georgia Tech or
Georgia
Arizona
Tech.
State.
Yeah, Georgia Tech. That would be my guess for sure.
Talking to Ari Temkin right now. Hey, on the whole coaching search, do you have a name maybe for Auburn or Nebraska that you're thinking could be a possibility right now?
Man, it's a great question. You know, it's funny because you hear kind of people talk around the league, you know, around college football, and you know, major advantageous position to kind of be, you know, where Nebraska is in terms of just having such a long period of time in order to get a good idea and a good gauge of the market and what it looks like. I'll say this about Auburn. You know, I because of what LSU was able to do last year in terms of, you know, they went after multiple coaching candidates and kind of struck out and then ended up with Brian Kelly, who, you know, I mean, all the guy does is win. I think Auburn's going to try to swing for something big here. So, you know, it could be a situation in which we're looking at all these available, people and coaches. I wonder, you know, who is the major surprise potential for an Auburn? Because they, look, I mean, Wisconsin's a great job, and Madison's an unbelievable town, and Camp Randall, I mean, it's an incredible place. And Auburn has its flaws and problems. I mean, it is, there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen in terms of decision makers, big money boosters, it could be a problem. But I still think because of the resources they have at their disposal, you know, it's one of the best jobs in college football, and it's the best job available right now. So, you know, it's funny, I heard this about LSU, but you know, every coach they've hired has won a national championship. So it's like crazy to think, like, yeah, Brian Kelly, yeah, he'll win a title at LSU. I mean, recent history suggests, look at every coach that LSU's hired, they've won a title. It's pretty remarkable. So, you know, Auburn, I think, feels like it's in that category. Obviously, they've won titles. They've competed for the playoff, the BCS, you know, championship era as well. So for Auburn, it could be somebody that's currently coaching a big-time program.
Here's what I said, and I think Wisconsin, by the way, it's Jim Leonard's job until I hear another name gets hired. You look at Nebraska, Gary Patterson, I saw, was brought up by Football Scoop the other day, which would I think would be a really solid hire. And I didn't even think about him for that job. But for Auburn, it feels like it's going to be Lane Kiffin. And I know that he has a good job at Ole Miss, but it's not a job that you have to stay. I have a feeling that it's just going to be Lane at Auburn. Maybe I'm wrong, though.
Let me ask you this, Zach. Can you win a national championship at Ole Miss?
No.
Well, you can win one at Auburn.
That's why I think you'd take that jump. I would.
Yeah.
How about Deion Sanders? You think Deion Sanders coaching the Power 5 next year?
You know, this is such an interesting conversation because
I hope it happens, by the way.
So, do you? Because I love what he's doing for HBCUs. I mean, you think about the amount of attention, you know, that he's bringing to HBCUs. Like, you know, I thought this was a horrible hire. I thought, there's no way Deion is going to do this. Are you kidding me? Deion with that ego? There's no way he's going to do that. He's blown me away. I mean, what he's done has been unbelievable. You know, obviously, in terms of recruiting, in terms of creating a profile, it's incredible. And, you know, and obviously, the Travis Hunter last year, I think, you know, the more attention you bring, and he's very conscientious of that. And so, look, I do hope over time he eventually lands a Power 5 job, and he will. I mean, if I were at Auburn, if any of these programs are looking for a new coach, I would hire Deion Sanders tomorrow because of how impressive he's been. But I hope he stays for a little bit because I just love what he's doing, and I think it's just such a larger purpose for him than, you know, than taking one of these jobs right now.
Yeah, it's a great point that you bring up. And let me be clear, if he were to leave, I want to see him in the SEC. Like, I want to see him up against the best of the best because I think he could be a home run in the Power 5.
I want to see him at Florida State.
Oh, that would
be
great.
Would he be the guy to return Florida State to power?
I had an opportunity a few years ago. Just ask him. Ari Temkin here with us. Before we get into the Big 12, I guess we can start the conversation here. Is Sonny Dykes the coach of the year, or will it be Josh Heupel?
In college football, you know, it's funny because we actually had this discussion this week. What about Lance Leipold?
Fair point.
I mean, so in the Big 12, it's funny you bring that up from a national perspective, and I think two names you brought up are really great, without a doubt. But yeah, I mean, we were on Big 12 radio this week talking about, like, is it Sonny Dykes or Lance Leipold, and then how do those guys compare to, you know, all of college football? I mean, look, I don't think you can go wrong with either of those two in terms of Dykes and Leipold. I'm a Kansas alum. Kansas has been an FCS-level program playing in a Power 5 conference for the last decade. Like, that's where they were competing. So they were not competitive in any Big 12 game. They were barely competitive in the FCS games they played. So for him to do, and he hasn't even been on campus for 2 years. This is his second season, and he's been there for a year and a half. So it is remarkable. And not only that, but then, like, they've had a lot of injury issues, especially along the offensive line. And, like, 3 years ago, they had one of the worst offensive lines ever in college football. And a lot of these players have stuck around and are now experienced players that are really good, but they've lost a lot of those guys. And they shouldn't have the depth that they have. Like, Oklahoma lost their quarterback and lost to Texas 49-0 with their backup quarterback. How is Kansas better positioned with their backup quarterback situation than Oklahoma? That doesn't make sense. That can't ever happen, and it's happening right now because of how Jason Bean has played in relief of Jalen Daniels. So, I mean, look, Dykes took a team that was picked preseason 7th in the Big 12, a team that finished, you know, eighth or ninth in the Big 12 last year at TCU, and basically that entire roster is 9-0 right now. So it's hard for me to figure out who would be the coach of the year. And you know, you mentioned Heupel, and considering the turnaround for Tennessee too. Those are three teams and three programs that have had considerable turnaround, but obviously TCU and Tennessee playing for much higher stakes than Kansas.
Ari Temkin, you know that Lance Leipold can be very patient because whenever he wants another job, he'll be able to get it. Last year, there were so many big jobs available. There are some big jobs this year, but not to the level so far from what we've seen last year. Do you think Leipold is back at Kansas next year? I know you want him to be back, but do you think he will be?
Yeah, I do. And look, I mean, I'd be happy for him if he left, even as a Kansas fan, as tough as it would be to lose. But, like, just for him to take the job, like, I gave him a hug at Big 12 Media Days just because, like, he took the job. Like, it just,
that's great.
It's been so bad. Rock bottom has just continued to get deeper and deeper for this program. It just got worse and worse and worse. It wasn't getting any better. So for somebody to take it and, like, leverage that into a better job, do it. Absolutely. You should do that if you want to.
Yeah.
And so I'd fully support it. You know, he was asked about it, obviously, with Kansas off the undefeated start and then Nebraska having that job opening there because he has a little bit of history of coaching in Nebraska. And look, he's from Wisconsin, was a quarterback and at Wisconsin-Whitewater and led that program to prominence, winning multiple championships at Wisconsin-Whitewater. So, you know, that was another one that was worrisome. But you mentioned Leonard, and I think that was – you know, what at least Wisconsin was hoping for. And I think they played to a higher level that would justify his return in the future. So, I mean, look, he mentioned earlier this season when asked about it that, you know, he just got there. He's got a wife and kids. Like, you have to think about that too, right? Like, he just moved, you know, cities from Buffalo, New York to Lawrence, Kansas. And, you know, and again, less than a year and a half. So I wouldn't begrudge him if he left. He should eventually. And hopefully this program, you know, is on better footing without him. But I'll say this too. I hear more coaches talk about being in alignment with administrators now and the importance of that more than ever. And I know that, you know, the new athletic director, Travis Goff, who was hired just shortly before he hired Lance Leipold, you know, they have very much the same vision. They've been playing in a high school level football stadium for, you know, forever. And so their plan is not to build a new stadium. So hopefully Kansas is able to put some money and invest it into football. And obviously the results this year have justified it.
Ari Temkin, why is Texas, I know that there's a Quinnen Johnson injury, we'll see if he plays or not, but why is Texas a 7.5-point favorite against TCU?
Yeah, I didn't really understand last week why Texas was favored against Kansas State with K-State coming off their huge win, and I went with it. When you see a line you're confused about, you got to go with it. So I took Texas -7 in this game because it makes no sense. Look, Texas plays a lot better at home. They have an incredible offense. Now, Quinn Ewers, you know, he played really, really well to start the year, and he's probably had his two worst games the last two games. He had a really bad game against Oklahoma State. He was better against K-State, but still probably his second worst game since becoming a collegiate. The other part of this that's so funny is, so TCU slow starts, and they finish strong, and they come from behind and win games. Texas is the opposite. They've start strong and get blown out in the second half. Like last week, they're up 31-10 at halftime on Kansas State and won by a touchdown because Kansas State outscored them 21-3 in the second half with Adrian Martinez. So, like, there's so many parts of this where, like, I don't know why I would think Texas would be favored by a touchdown, and Vegas basically thinks they're going to, you know, win outright 75% of the time. So Vegas is pretty heavy on Texas to win this. Again, I think it's being at home. And, look, we can't downplay the pressure on TCU. You know, when you're playing, and this is part of the, you know, future playoff dynamic that won't exactly exist, but when you're playing every week and you know that your playoff lives are on the line, there's a lot of pressure there, especially for a team that didn't have expectations like this coming into the season.
Who are your four teams? Who do you think will be the four teams at the end of the year, Ari Temkin?
Oh, man, it's funny because we think we know, and like college football and recent history suggests we don't.
Last week?
This year even more so. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Every year. It's like, well, it's going to play out like this, and then there's a crazy upset at some point that just kills everything.
Well, let me ask you this. Since you're the Big 12 guy, does TCU – I think they do. Do they need to be undefeated to get into the college football playoff this year?
Yeah. Yes. I would say it would have to – the SEC champion is getting in. There's this chance for a second SEC champion to get in – or for a second SEC team to get in. Most likely that will happen. So you could probably look at two SEC teams and then the winner of Ohio State, Michigan. So then where's the fourth spot coming from?
I would say the Pac-12 or undefeated TCU, or maybe if the Pac-12 champion has two losses and TCU isn't undefeated. If Michigan beats Ohio State by the slimmest of margins, maybe you have two teams from the Big Ten and two teams from the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that's probably the betting favorite. Ohio State, Michigan, and, you know what, Georgia and LSU or Georgia and Tennessee.
Yeah, it'd probably be Georgia, Tennessee, I would think.
Georgia, Tennessee, yeah, right. So I when I look at the rest of the country, I see just not very impressive resumes. You know, it's like the old adage, ain't nobody played nobody. And that's really the case with the Pac-12, the ACC, and the Big 12. The Big 12 doesn't have any bottom feeders. The Pac-12 has a ton of bottom feeders, and so does the ACC. That's where I give it a leg up. But that's the problem, is there's no greatness in the Big 12s. And so it looks like a bunch of average wins, but I'd argue it's harder to win week in and week out in the Big 12 this year, more so than any other conference. I would take a one-loss Big 12 team over a one-loss Pac-12 champion, but I'm biased.
45 seconds or less. I only got 45 seconds left, Ari Temkin. Your Dallas Cowboys at the end of the year. How do you think we're talking about them?
Super Bowl. Absolutely. Can't wait to watch the Eagles crash and burn. No, I'm just kidding. I love the idea of the Odell Beckham move. If that happens, I think that's a huge move that they have not made in a long, long time, and they need a move like that to get them over the hump after it's been, what, 25, 26, 27, 20, 30 years?
So you're thinking that's what it's going to be. Like, if they get Odell, they could be in the Super Bowl.
I mean, it's not like the magic pill. I mean, clearly he's a flawed player. There's reason, you know, like there's a lot going on there. But yeah, look, they need more weapons. I think there's some addition by subtraction with Amari, but they're missing Amari. They're missing a player that can, you know, take some of the pressure off of CeeDee Lamb. And is that Odell Beckham? I mean, perhaps. But I just, like, this team needs something like this because it's been so conservative in terms of its personnel decisions over the last nearly three decades. It's so stubborn and obnoxious, you'd hope that they'd make a move that would try to put them over the top. At the very least, try to make a move like this that puts you over the top.
Ari Temkin, great stuff. We appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Take care, brother.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.